Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Jake and Stacy on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Ross.
The day before, you can hear Jake Heaps' excitement in the background. Why is he excited? Why are you guys excited? It's because Seahawks fans are returning to watch their team play in person at home for the first time since 2019. I don't even remember that year. It was so, that was 20 years ago, actually, 2019 was. While you guys were gone, by the way, you missed a couple things. You missed a few things. I know you saw it on the broadcast. I know you were able to watch it, but let me tell you what. You're going to be in person this time to see something like cut number one.
Three receivers, Fitzgerald, that is, and Kirk go to the far side. Empty backfield. Murray takes the snap. Looks. Gets hit. Goes down. Seahawks sack. Murray getting there was Dunlap. Came off the edge. Almost untouched. Huge play by the Seahawks defense. And the Hawks are going to win this game at Lumen Field. And it's going to come on a great defensive play with 34 seconds left.
What was that? That was just Carlos Dunlap, your new acquisition you got at the trade deadline halfway through the year, helping you save your season and turn things around after a couple losses. By the way, it was your second meeting with Arizona. You needed to win that one to push them back down in the NFC West race. After that, you guys move in two very different directions as a team, thanks in part to that play.
Or how about, Stacy, it's fourth and goal. The opposing team is about to score. The New England Patriots with Cam Newton are about to score and win the game here on this fourth down stop. Nuh-uh, not in our house. Here, cut number two.
Newton from the shotgun. Johnson, the fullback, wings on the left side. Newton's going to run the ball. He gets hit. He flipped up in the air. He doesn't get there. Clock ticks down. It's all zeros. What a play by the Seahawks defense. They throw their helmets. They are going nuts on the field. Cam Newton, the first time tonight, I believe they've stopped him dead in his tracks, and I believe it was Bobby Wagner who got there to do it. What an end to what a game. The Seahawks win 35-30 over the Patriots. Wow.
Primetime game, major stop, week two of the season, and you had Bobby Wagner who blew the play up to set up the heroes of the day, which were L.J. Collier and Lano Hill, of all people. Yes. And that place would have been rocking. It would have been nuts to have everybody there in Lumen Field.
Now, there were a couple heart-stopping moments last year that weren't initially plays. For instance, you had Jamal Adams get injured. He had to miss a couple games. And so you knew, for instance, heading into your game against Dallas, oh, what are you going to do? You have Ryan Neal, a guy who, while hilarious, a great interview, not a lot of Seahawks fans had heard about before. So here
yesterday. You
are with the game on the line. Jamal Adams not in the backfield. You've got this guy, Ryan Neal, and oh, wait, what? Cut number three?
Three receivers right. Prescott is going to look left. He gets hit again. He stumbles. He stays on his feet. Still looks. Throws to the end zone. It's intercepted. The ball is intercepted in the end zone. It's Neal who makes the pick in the end zone, and the Seahawks are going to hold off the Dallas Cowboys. How Dak Prescott was able to stumble away from a sure sack and still throw the ball in the end zone. And Neal, who was just activated today, makes the pick in the end zone, and the Seahawks are going to hold off the Dallas Cowboys. Wow, what a finish. The Seahawks defense steps up when they had to.
That was the sound of Ryan Neal, who began his day on the practice squad and ended it making an interception to seal the win for the Seahawks against the Cowboys. He's flooded, immediately greeted by teammates after that. Everyone's so excited. And you know what? The only thing I'm sad about is that he didn't have the cheers of like 68,000 Seahawks fans in that moment. Because, man, that's something you'd never forget.
Oh, it would be unbelievable. And I think that when you're talking about just the moments and the just amazing things that happened last year, they would have been amplified by the 12s. And so, guess what? This is going to be the first regular season game with the 12s in the stands, with that place rocking. You are going to have, for the very first time, Jamal Adams, Carlos Dunlap, Jordan Brooks, Daryl Taylor, excuse me if I'm missing anybody else in that equation, that will be out there for the very first time experiencing what it's like to play in Lumen Field with the fans, have that energy in the building. It's going to be absolutely fantastic, and I can't wait.
No, absolutely not. I got one more little baby highlight.
Oh,
one
you got another highlight?
Baby,
okay.
One more little baby highlight because, look, I went pretty defense heavy for the first three because really that catches the crowd off guard, right? When you get a sack, when you get something, the crowd goes crazy because they were already making noise, already participating in that defensive stand. So I had to include the make or break fourth down when Russell Wilson found DK Metcalf in the end zone.
Russell, look out. He's going to fire inside. Reaching up. Making a catch. Does he hang on? He does. It's a touchdown. It's a touchdown, Seahawks, and it's Metcalf who reaches up and makes the catch. Crossing the field, making the catch in the middle of the end zone. And Russell finds him and throws a dart.
Now, I just had to end that off with a touchdown, just to include one. But let me rewind it. That was for you guys to get you guys right, get you guys ready for the weekend. The Seahawks having their home opener this Sunday. But I'm going to rewind because the theme of the weekend, Jake, is actually defense. There was a reason I started with those first three cuts and that we went over those. Because when you're looking at this Titans team coming to town, the defense really struggled against the Cardinals. We talked to Ben Arthur, who used to cover the Seahawks, now works for the Tennessean, covering the Titans out in Nashville, and said, look, I don't know that they can get right in a week. But you know what can get right in a week? Yeah, all the talent that they have on offense. It will be a test for Seattle's defense when you are facing Tannehill and those three explosive weapons, A.J. Brown, Julio Jones, and Derrick Henry.
Absolutely. This game 100% falls on the Seahawks defense. And as you mentioned, the Titans will be rolling into Lumen Field with a created player in running back Derrick Henry. He is the best running back in the league. At his size, his physical skill set, he's a tough player to bring down. And arguably top 15, I would say top 10 potential in the conversation, A.J. Brown, Julio Jones. Those two guys are incredible outside receivers, physically gifted, have the size, have the speed, have the playmaking ability. And if you're Bobby Wagner, Jamal Adams, Carlos Dunlap, the rest of this crew, this is the type of matchup you live for. These are the types of matchups when you go up against some of the game's best, it's a direct opportunity to show and flex your proverbial muscle in terms of how good of a defense you have, how good of a player you are, and ultimately, it's best against best. That's what ultimate competitors live for, and I believe that this is a statement game opportunity for somebody like Bobby Wagner. Is there questions about Bobby Wagner, whether he's the best linebacker in the game? Well, you can make a definitive case for yourself as the best linebacker in the league if you're making plays, getting Derrick Henry in the backfield, making plays sideline to sideline. If you're Jamal Adams, you just got paid as the highest paid safety? Well, how about you show everybody why you are the NFL's best defensive weapon? I think this is a game that the defense realizes that this game is on them, and I think this is an opportunity that they cannot wait for on Sunday.
We're going to be taking your guys' bold takes coming up at 10:45. And obviously, it's Bold Take Friday. That's why we're doing it. So make yours very, 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 very bold. I can't have you texting in, oh, I think Russell Wilson's going to get three touchdowns. Let's see if that happens. Oh, my God. I think DK Metcalf could get like 60 yards again. No, I need you to put yourself out there. I'm putting myself out there with mine.
You are?
Jake's putting himself out there. Yeah, and mine was almost true last week, Jacob. I was really excited about it. So that's coming up at 10:45, 710, 710, or you can tweet them at Jake, JTHeaps9 on Twitter. He's also collecting a few of them. So get those in, and then you can get bragging rights on Monday. Everyone loves that, right? But when we're looking at this Titans team in particular, we talked about those three weapons. Last week, they were able to hold Derrick Henry to something like 56 or 58 yards on the ground. Now, they were the Cardinals did. The Seahawks in week one against Jonathan Taylor. Indy also has a great run game. They were able to hold him on the ground, but he became quite involved also in the pass game, and I think ended up with something close to 100 total yards from scrimmage. So he was still a weapon for them. Derrick Henry, a little less involved in the pass game. He's like a pure runner. He doesn't have to be involved in the pass game when he's pushing 2,000 yards. You know what I mean? But
yeah.
Who then becomes so important for Seattle? Who becomes, you know, you need this guy to have the game of his life on Sunday.
Well, honestly, I believe that it's in the middle. I believe that when you're talking about the defensive tackles in Puna Ford, Brian Monet, Al Woods, those guys have to be big up the middle. I mean, they have to be guys that are stalwarts, that are plugging up the gaps, that they are not losing the six-inch battle when it comes to the line of scrimmage off the top. And then it's Bobby Wagner and Jordan Brooks, their ability to roam, their ability to get downhill, to plug holes. It's going to require this entire defense to be gap sound and assignment sound, and for guys to, you know, for linebackers, for safeties to have proper run fits, for corners to have their proper run fits and be willing tacklers against Derrick Henry. You cannot. This is a game, Stacey, where you cannot rely on individual tackles. This is a game where you have to have a party to the ball. What that means is you need multiple Seahawks hats flying to the ball. You need gang tackles. You need a group effort here with Derrick Henry. That requires discipline. That requires an intense amount of effort all game long. And quite frankly, if they can handle that, if they can limit that ground game, which is an extremely difficult task, I know that the Cardinals were able to do it last week. I think the Titans will be better this week.
I do too.
That doesn't mean that the Seahawks can't put up a good performance defensively, but I don't anticipate them being as horrific as they were last week. I mean, you had Taylor Lewan, who's one of the better tackles in the game. He couldn't even stay on his feet half the time. You know, so it was just a horrible effort by the Titans, and they're a very talented group. With the Titans' defense, I don't anticipate them getting significantly better, a significant growth from week one to week two. The Titans, with as good of talent as they have, with the good of players as they have, I don't anticipate them having back-to-back really bad weeks. So the Seahawks defense is going to have to earn it.
I'm already seeing some really good bold takes in here. I just saw one about Jamal Adams that I absolutely love. I see you, Dino, from the 509. We'll get to that at 10:45. Keep sending those in, 710-710. Obviously, it's the biggest test yet for the secondary, which got a little bit of help thanks in part to a fantastic performance by the Seahawks defensive line against the Colts in week one, but also thanks to some banged up Colts receivers in a really struggling Colts offensive line. So that will not be the case, like you said, this time around. It's going to have to be figuring out a way to take either Julio or AJ out of the game, and that's a big task for a Seahawks cornerback group, Jake, that's still trying to figure out who their go-to guys are.
Absolutely. And you're having Julio Jones and AJ Brown coming right at them. I mean, that is a laughable mismatch when you're looking at it just on paper. AJ Brown, Julio Jones against Trey Flowers and DJ Reed. How do you combat that? A great pass rush. How do you combat that? Is a group collective effort to be able to help one another top down throughout the given game. They have to be on it, and it starts up front. It starts with that defensive line being the strength of hopefully this team as you're moving forward, which allows Jamal Adams, Bobby Wagner, Jordan Brooks to be the playmakers that they can potentially, or that we all know that they can be. And really, when it comes down to it, last year we witnessed a defense that started horrifically.
Mm-hmm.
We tried to make excuses. We looked at it and said, oh, they can get by. Oh, they can do this. They can get better every week. It didn't happen. I want to see this story be completely flipped on its head this year in terms of the defense, in terms of what it's able to do here after the first 2 weeks, and be able to look at this group and say that this is one of the more solid units in the NFL.
Jake and Stacey is presented exclusively by CarPros Kia Tacoma. You're going to hear from John Clayton today. You're going to hear from Michael Bumpus today. Before that, though, let's get to headline rewrites.
Extra, extra, read all about it.
Headline rewrites.
Presented by Tila Mortgage.
The real story behind the headlines in today's news with Jake and Stacey.
Headline number one, the Mariners. They will have their 2-4 homestand rewarded by facing the hottest hitter on planet Earth, Salvador Perez, and the Kansas City Royals this weekend. What is the real headline?
The actual headline that would be on the front page of this paper, if it were being honest, is Mariners hit road with no other choice but to sweep Royals.
Yes.
That would be the real headline.
They have to go on a run. They have to go on a streak. They have to start winning games in bunches for them to even have a chance. And may I make a suggestion? Call me crazy. Don't pitch to Salvador Perez.
I like that.
Let's just walk that guy. And I will elect to walk that guy every single time at bat. I just don't think it's worth it. You're playing with fire every time. He's having an unbelievable finish to the season. So if there was one little tidbit I would give to Scott Servais, and he may laugh at me, but I just don't want to play with fire with Salvador Perez. That guy has been a beast.
Yeah, it's unreal.
Well, he won the Royals their series against the Mariners
almost single-handedly.
Yeah, it was a 4-game series.
What was his, how many RBI did he have? Something crazy.
It was
like 12,
12 or
right?
13 in that 4-game series. He had a home run in each game, two
unreal.
Grand slams.
Now, the one key to this is, obviously, multiple times when he was up to bat, it was bases loaded. So do yourself a favor and don't load the bases, and then you could just, you know, send him on his merry way to first base and not have to worry about that at bat. So that would be what I would like to see.
That's exactly why starting pitching becomes so important for not only this series, but moving forward. If you're going to be able to get this done, yes, you're going to need offensive production. Yes, you're going to need hopefully some improvement from the guys at the bottom of your lineup, most especially consistent performance from the guys at the top. But you can't have guys giving up runs. You can't dig too much of a hole with this offense. So starting pitching becomes the key for the very, very, very slim chance you have.
I wish we could have just paused the Mariners season after the Diamondbacks sweep. That would have been great. Just end it on that 11-inning game that finished 10-4 and like, all right.
That's what I do for Game of Thrones.
That's the season.
The last season of Game of Thrones didn't happen. I refuse to acknowledge it. It's not canon. The last several, like the last two or three series for the Mariners, not canon to me. They didn't happen. 2021 ended.
Headline rewrites.
Headline number two, the Huskies will look to score more than 17 points total as they're unbelievably 17-point favorites over Arkansas State on Saturday. What's the real headline?
My Huskies will be looking to put up points against an Arkansas State defense that gave up. Let me just check, make sure I wrote this down right. Oh, wow, okay. 55 points to Memphis last week.
Is that it?
Yep. That's it. So you just got to find a way to get in the end zone. You know what I mean? Against this really tough defense. Just a really, really tough defense that gave up only 55 to Memphis. So that's a big test.
I'm assuming that this 17-point favorite is still being considered like preseason UW form?
No,
like, have they not watched
no,
the
what
two
you do,
games?
It's a really complicated formula.
Before?
You probably don't understand. What you do is you add someone's point total from their first couple games, and then that is the spread. That is what their favorite.
Oh, wow.
That's what happened. So UW has scored.
So Memphis is like 60-point favorites over whoever they're playing next week.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. Really, really cool stuff. It's a little known fact.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure
that's not how it works, but sure.
Know.
Okay.
I don't know.
If this game is even close, it will be an embarrassment. So the Huskies, you've got an incredibly difficult task on your hand in terms of this being truly a wild card matchup. And the one thing that you've been hanging your hat on is your pass defense, because that's the only thing that hasn't been exposed over the last 2 weeks because you've played horrible passing offenses. We'll go ahead and pat ourselves on the back on that, and let's see if they can actually deliver on Saturday. If they cannot, if they lose this game, or if this game is even close, it will be the worst stretch run that the Huskies have had to open a season in maybe even Husky history. And yeah, I'm pointing directly at that 0-12 season. It wouldn't be that 0-12 start to that year wouldn't be nearly as bad as what we're witnessing right now.
It seems absurd to ask this, but I will, because I think there's some smoke here where there's fire.
Curtis.
Or some fire here where there's smoke. Who has the coaching advantage on Saturday? UW or Arkansas State? Because Butch Jones is Arkansas State's head coach, and he's been at Cincinnati and Tennessee. He's coached some big programs.
Well, you could make the devil's advocate argument for either guy, or a good argument for either guy. For instance, Jimmy Lake, obviously a great... Well, listen, I'll make mine. Jimmy Lake, obviously a great defensive guy. So say what you will about the Huskies offense, who will have their work cut out. Again, Arkansas State's defense is not a strength of the team. The strength of the team is their passing offense, where they're like tops, like a top three team in the league. So Jimmy Lake, big secondary guy, you know what I mean? Like the pass defense, teams have been able to run all over them, but like maybe so far that's legit. I mean, if I'm taking anything, it's going to be the pass defense versus Arkansas State's passing offense, in which case you'd go with the...
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to say it's Butch Jones right now. Why? Because he's actually taking a program in Arkansas State that isn't a national powerhouse program, which isn't one of your blue-blooded programs in a given conference, in a Power 5 conference, and he's actually making them pretty good. And he's turning them into something that is good, and he also has a clear, defined approach and that they're executing that approach. So they want to be a high-scoring offense on paper. They've turned into a high-scoring offense on paper. UW, they want to be a great run offense. They haven't been a great run offense. So I would give right now Butch Fair. Jones the favor in that.
What happens if Washington loses?
I mean,
chaos, madness.
Like, honestly, everything's on the table. Everything. There's nothing that's not on the table.
Headline rewrites.
Headline number three. The NHL released their national TV schedule for the upcoming season yesterday, and the Kraken are tied for the most appearances of any team with 13 games on national TV. So what is the real headline?
Just mentally and emotionally prepare yourself to see Macklemore throwing a fish at Pike Place 13 times. But you know
no.
what? You know what? I'm not mad about it. Every time there's any kind of national attention, that's exactly what they're going to do. They're going to be like, did we tell you, by the way, the Kraken are in Seattle now? Seattle, home of Nirvana.
Yeah, that's right. Get the grunge music going, baby.
Look at that. Get your coffee for this early game. Your coffee. By the way, Starbucks in Seattle. Like, it's going to be completely that. It's going to be like the greatest hits album of like a national perspective of Seattle. But you know what? I'm not going to mind because that's still great news. That's fantastic news.
Yep. Get the plaid shirts out, baby. That's the style here in Seattle. Here we go.
Do you own a plaid shirt?
Of course I do. Okay. Yes. I live here, don't I? Of course, you got to have a plaid shirt.
No.
Yeah, you do.
No.
Yes, you do.
Wow, Stacy.
Yeah.
You're just contrarian.
Yeah.
Slick at you.
I will not own plaid.
Not me, never. No, I probably do. all right, don't forget Mike Salk is back in the mornings each weekday from 6 to 10 a.m., including the Matt Hasselbeck Show, which is on Wednesdays from 9 to 10 a.m. Also, as a reminder, you guys, don't forget, you can subscribe to the Jake and Stacey podcast wherever you get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever. If you're not a big podcast person, you can listen on 710sports.com or stream on 710sports.com/video. Please don't forget to rate and review, or I will block you from the text line. Just kidding, I won't do that. You can review. Give an honest review if you want. I won't get mad. Look.
It would be great if you gave us a positive review.
That's all we would ask.
But look.
We would greatly appreciate it.
I'm not going to tell you what to write. I'm just saying that, like, you know, maybe there's consequences. I can't threaten people. I can't do that. I'm not going to.
You're just as bad as Garrett Cole.
Backtracking.
You are as bad as Garrett Cole.
The professor.
You better watch out.
The professor John Clayton comes on with us next. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to Jake and Stacey.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacey Ross.
This hour of Jake and Stacey is brought to you by Advanced Hair Restoration. The Seahawks have their home opener, week two, against the Tennessee Titans. That is this Sunday. Joining us now for a little bit of a preview. I might have a question or two about the rest of the NFL. It is the Professor, John Clayton. John, how are you?
Doing well. How are you?
We are fantastic. Everyone very excited to see the Seahawks back at home. Everyone's back in the stands for the first time since 2019. Now, John, the Titans were abysmal against the Cardinals in week one. Are you expecting a better performance on both sides of the ball for them this week?
It can't be worse, but you still have to kind of wonder, where are they on defense? Because you go back to last year, I mean, statistically, they were the fifth worst in the league as far as yards allowed. Okay, so then they come back this year, they shake things up, they let a couple cornerback goes, they put two new defensive ends out there, and then they come back and give up 37 points to the Arizona Cardinals, and you go, wait a second, is this any better or not? That's a concern. Certainly, they're going to be better on offense, but what you have to worry about is Taylor Lewand at left tackle, because he's coming off the ACL. He gave up 5 sacks to Chandler Jones, and you kind of get the feeling, you know, coming off the ACL, he's not there yet. He's not 100%. That's got to be a concern. But, I think you'll see a little bit better running with Derrick Henry. Certainly, there's a problem at the right tackle position, but I think right now they're vulnerable.
You know, so you talk about those vulnerabilities, John. Who is the best player, or who's some of the best players that you can identify for the Seahawks that should be able to take advantage of some of those weaknesses that they currently have?
Well, I would have to think that you have to look at the defensive ends, because right now, you know, whether it's going to be Carlos Dunlap, whether it's going to be Benson Mayoa, whether it's going to be Darren Lewis, it's like I think they can maybe take advantage of what's going on with Taylor Lewan. That's got to be an advantage. Then, of course, I think you look on the offensive side of the ball. I mean, could be real good games for DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. You'd anticipate that Chris Carson should have a real good game. And I think he's obviously going to be backed up by Alex Collins. And so, I think there's a real good matchup. Now, the only difference going to be, tell me where the rain's going to be. Is it going to rain hard like it's supposed to later today and on Saturday? Or is it going to be, letting up or not? And so that's going to be a big factor in this game. And it'll probably not, Seattle, I think, will be able to work better in that rain. But again, that could slow down a Tennessee offense.
The Seahawks have won 17 of their last 18 home openers. That's since 2003. What goes into that? Is it just a home team will always have the advantage, or is there something Seattle does in its game prep that has made them so good, not just with home openers, but in prime time, on the road for early games? I mean, what have you seen on your end of things?
Well, obviously last year, I mean, they didn't have the crowd to be able to help them out, but obviously the crowd is such a big part, because the 12s give you the ability, particularly in the key parts of games, particularly in the fourth quarter, to quiet them down. You'll get the fact that you get more false starts and mistakes. Quarterbacks can't hear things. That's a big advantage. But also, I think you definitely have home field advantage, because you don't have to travel. You have to try to make sure that you're in good shape overall. Because again, I mean, you're in the area and all that stuff. But again, home teams, particularly in a stadium like this, which is one of the better stadiums for home fields, is a big, big advantage.
John, one of the things that I'm really curious to find out is, can this cornerback group hold up? And you're going to be going up against two guys that arguably, they're definitely comfortably within the top 15, but top 10 arguably with A.J. Brown and Julio Jones in terms of receiver rankings. How can they match up here? What do they have to do for those two guys to not give up big plays with these two receivers?
Well, I just have to think a lot of it has to do with the pass rush, because if you can get the pass rush to take away some of the some of the pressure, that makes it easier on the cornerbacks. And of course, the big thing is just don't make mental mistakes. Make sure that if you're Trey Flowers, I mean, you're looking at the ball as opposed to not looking at the ball. If you're DJ Reed, I mean, you just make sure that you make smart moves and then just try to trail these guys, because again, I think you saw last week, and this is certainly a big factor for Arizona, they were able to get so much pressure on Ryan Tannehill that Tannehill wasn't able to get the ball downfield. And so that, I think, is going to be one of the keys. And if they can carry that over like the Cardinals did last week, that's going to be a big factor in holding down some of these wide receivers. I mean, you're going to give up yards. I mean, Julio Jones is one of the better receivers in the league, and that Brown is good. But I think that as long as you can get some pressure on the quarterback, that helps.
John, there are some unique matchups that will be happening this Sunday, and I look within the NFC West. Which one do you think will be the most revealing? There's the Rams versus the Colts, the 49ers versus the Eagles, and you have the Vikings versus the Cardinals.
Probably the Vikings versus the Cardinals, because again, it's like, how good is Arizona? I mean, they were great last week. Vikings they got off to a horrible start. They didn't do well. And if you got Arizona sitting there at 2-0, that's a big advantage. San Francisco has a big advantage over Philadelphia, just from the standpoint that Philadelphia is not that great, but also injuries are continuing to mount up for the 49ers. And obviously the better game is going to be Indianapolis against the Rams. But again, the Rams, we'll see if they have Eric Fisher at left tackle. We'll see where they are on the offensive line, because their offensive line had so much problems, and it doesn't sound as though Xavier Rhodes is going to play, and that really hurts their pass coverage.
Tampa Bay and Green Bay have been kind of seen as the powers that be in the NFC from obviously outside of Seattle, where plenty of people have faith in the Seahawks, but the Rams have also been thrown in there, and I think it's because of their rosters. Obviously, Tampa Bay coming off a Super Bowl, Green Bay coming off an NFC Championship game. They lost, but the NFC Championship game. Green Bay is going to have a game against Detroit, which should be easy. Are you expecting them to bounce back from week one?
Yeah, I can, but I still think there's a lot of problems on that team. I think there's internal problems. You saw it in the opener. I mean, they go against a New Orleans team that is down 10 starters from last year, and they lose by 35 points. I mean, they seem disinterested. But again, Detroit's so bad that there's no way you're going to lose to them. I mean, think about the fact that they played San Francisco last week at home, and they were trailing 38-10. Now, the 49ers end up losing Jason Verrett at cornerback. Jimmy Ward gets hurt in safety. They didn't have Emmanuel Mosley. So they had nothing at cornerback, and all of a sudden, Detroit clawed its way back for 41-33. But I think that this team right now is pretty well set to be able to do well. And so Green Bay should bounce back, but we'll see where they go in the next week after that.
What's up with the 49ers injury history? I mean, they have been one of the most banged up teams mm-hmm. for the last several years.
Yeah, last year they had 131 missed starts. And you can see the injuries continue to go because, here they're down two cornerbacks. I don't know if Mosley's going to play this week. They're down two wide receivers because Richie James, he was waived injured. And, they don't have Jalen Hurd. He's always hurt. And, we're 2 weeks into the season. Isn't it time for Deebo Samuel to get some kind of an injury? Dre Greenlaw ends up getting hurt for 6 to 8 weeks. They're down there. Two running backs. Raheem Mostert is done for the season. They don't have Jeff Wilson. I don't know if it's a matter that does Kyle Shanahan practice him too hard? Whatever it is, it's still a big problem.
He's the professor. John Clayton joins us every Friday at 10:30. John, always a pleasure talking to you. Have a good weekend.
Okay, thanks.
All right, this hour of Jake and Stacey again, brought to you by Advanced Hair Restoration. Coming up, it is time for your bold takes. I want you to get really bold. Put yourself out there, right? You won't be held accountable. Don't worry. It's sports radio. No one has to know. So get bold. Send yours in. 710-710 about the Seahawks matchup in week 2 against the Titans. 710-710. You can also tweet them at JTHeaps9. If you're online right now, you can send that to Jake. Your bold takes coming up next.
It's time for Bold Take Friday.
It is Bold Take Friday. That's a trademark, by the way. No other program in sports radio history or across the country uses it. So
that's a fact.
Bold takes
so
and predictions,
if you hear anybody,
very unique to this show.
Anybody across the country,
let us
I don't
know.
Care who you are,
no.
National media,
Dan Patrick,
I don't
Rich
care.
Eisen.
If you hear it, report it to us and we will deal with
that's
them later.
That's exactly right. You will be hearing from our lawyers that we don't have right now.
We're working on it.
I've got to we need to get some funds, but we don't have them right now, but you will be hearing from them. It is your bold takes. Get them in right now. 710-710 for the game this Sunday. So here's how it's going to work. Jake, I'm going to have you tell us yours. Then I'm going to read a couple. Then I'm going to say my bold take, and then we'll turn to the text line again. So why don't you get us started?
Okay. All right. So I think that we kind of have a theme here for defense right
defense
now.
Defense is the theme
so
of the weekend.
My bold take is that the Seahawks defense, Trey Flowers, DJ Reed, limit A.J. Brown and Julio Jones to under 60 yards each receiving, no touchdowns, and gives up only 250 yards through the air or less. That's my bold take. That's my
very
bold take.
Very extensive bold take.
I have one more bold take. Can I give another bold take? Because I have another
bold
one.
Take Friday.
Please, I have another bold take.
You can't give bold Fine. Takes on any other day.
DK Fine. Metcalf goes off this week. He only had 4 receptions. He had a touchdown, but he goes off this week. 7 receptions, 150 yards, 2 touchdowns. I don't care if it's pouring down rain. DK's going to have a big day.
Now, why don't you include a tiny bit of analysis with that? Because I know why you're picking it, but so that people have a little preview.
Why? Because the Tennessee Titans, they have background in running cover one. Not just in the days of Mike Vrabel with the New England Patriots and Bill Belichick and all that, but they also brought in Jim Schwartz from the Philadelphia Eagles. Last year, he was a defense coordinator for 5 years. He is now the senior defensive analyst for the Tennessee Titans. You know what he liked to do when he was in Philadelphia, Stacey?
Eat sandwiches?
No. You know what he liked to do?
What?
Curtis, you know what he liked to do? He liked to play man-to-man coverage.
Yeah.
Come on.
Don't you guys know your scouting report?
Okay,
come on. Don't you know your NFL history?
I haven't burned mine up yet.
No, it's under the desk.
Am I the only one who does in-depth scouting reports?
Come on. Get to the text line.
Man-to-man coverage. DK Metcalf is a monster in man-to-man coverage.
I have always said that.
And he is going to have a big, big day.
They don't call him DK Man-to-Man Metcalf for nothing.
Uh-huh.
They call him that. To the text line, the Mac and Jack's text line, 710-710. This person says, I'm feeling dangerous. Jamal Adams will not only get a sack on Sunday, he will, all caps, also get his first pick as a Seahawk. Remember this on Monday. Love, Dino.
Okay. All right, Dino.
I love the sign off.
All right.
Love, all my love.
Wishing you my best.
Do we have an old,
warm regards.
If someone sends in an old cake, do we have a sound for that?
Bold take and old cake.
Yeah, old cakes are the bad.
We'll work on the old cake.
Well, no, here's an old cake from the 253. 253, what are you doing? Here's an old cake take. Seahawks lose. Titans are not Wentz.
Yeah, come on.
We need to get a sound for that of like, wah, wah.
Yeah, we definitely will.
It's a secret Titans fan here.
Don't send
me old
cakes.
All right, let me get you a couple more here before I say mine. a prediction here. This person's also very specific for Bold Take Friday. Derrick Henry with 20-plus carries, but with under 75 yards, and a pick six by DJ Reed. Hawks win by 12 from Eric in Utah. Also another bold take. This one's also a pick. DJ Reed jumps a Julio Jones route for a pick six. I like it.
Yeah, I like it. Let's go. Stacey, right. What's yours?
Yes. Yeah, so mine now, I actually saw quite a few people with mine, and they did less yardage, so I'm feeling shy. But they were a little bolder. I said my bold take is that the Seahawks will limit Derrick Henry to 60 yards or fewer on the ground.
60 yards or fewer.
That is exceptionally bold.
I will bet money
that that doesn't happen.
This is a guy who's had back-to-back, not 1,000-yard seasons, 2,000-yard season. So really, it is bold if you are claiming that he will not rush for over 100 yards.
Yes, here's the deal. I actually initially had 80 yards, but then so many people had theirs much lower that I was like, I have to find a happy medium so that I'm being bold, because I'm telling people to be bold with their takes, so I got to be bold. And no one has to know if I'm wrong on Monday. We'll never speak of this again. Now, I say that, I don't think it'll happen, but I say it because it's going to be the key of the game. I know that all eyes will be on A.J. Brown and Julio Jones, and man, are they one heck of a wide receiver duo, but the lifeline of that Tennessee offense is Derrick Henry. They need to be able to get him going.
Yeah, they do. They have to. And if you're
if they want to succeed, they don't. Well, ideally, they don't.
Ideally, they just say, we don't need that. If you're the Titans, you absolutely need to get this guy going. He is the centerpiece of it all. He is the reason why Julio Jones and A.J. Brown can have monster games, not just because they need them individually, but because this play-action game, Ryan Tannehill is at his best when they have an effective ground game. If the game is solely on Ryan Tannehill's shoulders, he is a very good quarterback. He's not a great elite quarterback in this league. And so I believe it bodes well if they can make them one-dimensional, and that allows the pass rush to really get involved into the game. So stopping Derrick Henry is probably the toughest task to ask in the league, but I'm really hoping that the Seahawks defensive line, the Seahawks front seven, is up for the task.
From the 360, I'm going to read two back-to-back here. From the 360, Derrick Henry gets his 100 yards, but Russell and crew are unstoppable for a 35-24 victory. From the 206, now we said the theme of the weekend was defense. This person's rolling with it. From the 206, their bold take. The Hawks defense will not allow the Titans to score in the first half. Holding them out scoreless in the first half would be huge. I think I got to look up the exact stats, but the Seahawks are have an insane record when they're leading by four more at the half.
Yes, they do. It's an absurd record. But they didn't even do that against the Colts last week.
They're 65-2 when leading by four or more points at halftime.
That would be pretty big.
Both of those losses occurred last season.
Oh yeah,
did they?
I remember very that weird. Because Jake would tweet out the stat that they were like 60-0 every time they had a lead of four more, and then
stop doing it.
Wow. What do we do now?
Exactly. A couple times. I mean, I'll still take the odds over that every single
65 out of 67 times it comes true. Like, I'll play that. I'll play those odds.
Yeah, I'll play that game every time. All right, a couple bold takes that were sent over to me on Twitter. See Us Rise EJ. After Sunday, the quote, "I love KJ, but did you see Jordan? Did you see what Jordan Brooks did?" tweets will begin.
Ah.
So that means that Jordan Brooks is going to have a monster day. Here's Gregory King at GK253. Shout out to 253. D-line goes crazy, led by Brian Monet on the interior, boxes up D. Henry, and limits him to below 50 yards. D-line eats once. D-line eats Tannehill and racks up four sacks.
Four sacks?
Four sacks.
Pretty solid. A week after they got two or three.
That would be a big day by the defensive line there.
I think my favorite part about that is I hope that the "I love KJ butt" crowd continues if Jordan Brooks becomes like a multi-time first team All-Pro.
Oh, that'd be great.
Imagine that he's like 8 years into his career and we're like, look, I love KJ, but man, Jordan Brooks, what a great tackle. He's like future Hall of Famer.
I know. It's such a tough spot to
be
because KJ is so beloved and has been so great here that I believe that will follow him for a very long time.
All right. I'll keep an eye on these and get back to a few of them during the show. Coming up next, though, what we want to see and need to see from week 2 for the Seahawks. Don't go anywhere.